listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell's going to join us. Five Star's going to join us. We'll be talking a lot of college football over these next couple of segments. The Rockets lost last night to the misogynists, the Phoenix misogynists. 123-111 was your final.
Just more frenetic basketball.
Yeah, it's what
it is. Doesn't really have a lot of – the backcourt doesn't really have – a purpose. It's not purposeful basketball. It's not. Steven Silas is going to have to get a hold of this and figure something out, or the Rockets are going to have to make some changes. We talked about DJ Augustine. I would have no problem with them dealing Kevin Porter Jr., because ultimately Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to be the guy that the rebuild is tooling around. He's not. He's too similar to Jalen Green. Jalen Green has got to get somebody playing next to him who can be more of a steadying influence, a calming influence. John and I talked about this. They really need a point guard, like a real point guard.
A real point
guard. Not a lead guard, not a shooting.
Maybe DJ
not a scoring
Augustine
guard.
Is one.
Well, DJ is just a guy who's on your roster. Somebody who's right. Torrey Andrews brought up. You mean like John Wall? Yeah, I mean, in theory, John Wall would be perfect. Here's just another. What is the group? What's the commercial we had with... Where you didn't have to, the seminar where you didn't have to play any sports and you made
sleeping
all the
sleeping bag.
Yeah, the sleeping bag. John Wall, Deshaun Watson, yeah. Justin Verlander. Houston, the city of, or the Houston sports franchises will be paying, the owners will be paying over, what are we in, the neighborhood of $90 million? Three players, $90 million, just don't play at all. Now, Verlander, we know what the deal was. Deshaun and Wall, though, it's just like, hey, guys, I think it's just best if y'all just never play. And they're like, that's what we were going to say. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Well, not for you. But we do want our money, but we were going to say the exact same thing. We don't really want to play for you. John Wall really would be, I didn't think I'd say this, but John Wall would be probably the influence you'd want with Jalen Green. You want a veteran guy, a guy who can control the ball, who takes the ball out of his hands, learns to get the ball to him in places that he likes it, which I'm not sure they've even defined, because Jalen Green likes to take the ball off the dribble. I haven't found a place where they feel like he's a comfortable shooter yet.
I kind of forgot about John. Is John Wall?
I completely forgot about him until Torrey said something.
What is he like still?
He's on the bench. Yeah. John Wall's totally around.
What the hell?
Tillman is just passing out money. It's listen, that's sports now. If you just like, you know what, John?
I just think
you shouldn't play. We don't want to have to pay you this money, but I guess we will, but we don't want to play you. And I was fine with that. But
Odell,
here's
a bunch of money. Here's that signing. Here, just go and don't play for us anymore. Hey, John Wall, you want to just, here's money. It's okay. You don't have to play for us.
Well, that's when you get guaranteed contracts. That's what happens.
What? It's unbelievable. What the hell?
And that's what they're missing is a point guard.
It is so unbelievable
John, hey, you know what the Rockets could use? A point guard. And you and I had an actual conversation about they need a point guard. And Torrey goes, hey, you mean like John Wall? And I went, oh, my God, I totally forgot about John Wall.
8 games in, 0 minutes.
No, yeah. Well, he's not playing. They've already decided that. We're just going to try to trade him, I guess. Maybe trade him. So a couple of days ago, there was a story that, you know, the Celtics, he would be a good fit for the Celtics. Yes, he'd be a perfect fit for the Celtics.
Trade for him.
Yes. How about Jason Tatum for him? For
Jalen Brown. I'll take Jalen Brown. I'll take your third best player.
Whatever.
I'll take Marcus Smart.
I'll take somebody off the bench.
I'll take Marcus Smart, sure.
Your 14th guy.
I'll take Marcus Smart, and the Celtics would want your first-round pick, too. Your first-round pick's going to be high, high, high. Hey, you know this could end up like Sixer. This could be 76er ball, or we're just in for another top-three pick, which is fine. It's going to suck. The regular season's going to suck. But Jalen Green followed Shingun, followed by another top pick. That's not the worst thing in the world. It sucks during the whole regular season. But, listen, that's how a lot of these teams have been built. is you have to go through some horrific suck to get a team that's loaded with good players. It happened with James, Oklahoma City, Russ, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Granted, they all left, but Golden State, you know, Golden State didn't have top, those weren't top three guys. They were doing it outside of the top four or five.
For a long time, they were bad, and then they got, they hit on some picks.
Yes, they did. Now, I think the Rockets had the second pick, and they got Jalen Green. I mean, they look like they're getting a top three pick this year. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. So it's really more of Oklahoma City / 76er thing. You just
you hit on Jalen Green. That the jury is...
I just don't want Jalen Green. Jalen Green's shooting percentage looks like Markel Fultz. I just don't want him to be a Markel Fultz. Like, I see some highlight reel stuff from him, but he, you know, at some point he needs to start turning a corner and you get more Ja Morant out of him. But that's a difference between a guy who came right out of high school into the G League and played G League basketball. Ja Morant had college basketball experience. So when he came in, you know, Zion, and granted, Zion was a high-end five-star talent, and so was Jalen Green. But I do think there is something to be said for it. I think the structure of college basketball, especially if you play at a high-end program, you're going to get some good coaching. You're going to get some structure. Even if it's for a year, I think it does improve who you are as a player. Jalen Green is playing like a guy who played in the G League. And I know we debated about that, because you have more grown men playing in the G League and physically you get a look. But I'm not sure that you have the same structure
I'm not going to use one guy as an example and Jalen Green if he's not all that successful right away. I think you learn to travel. You learn to be a pro, to have money in your pocket, to get ready. The competition is probably better than you're playing in a lot of your college games.
You don't think you learned to have money in your pocket in high-end college basketball?
Well, yeah. But you got to hide it. You don't have to hide it anymore.
Who gets more, G League, where you're getting paid? You're getting paid in the G League, but where's the under-the-table money? I would argue that that probably a player like Zion got paid more than a Jalen Green.
Well, and for whatever reason, Jalen Green played in only, how many, 14 games or something, for whatever reason. I mean, it would have been nice if he had a regular
He's a baby G-League giraffe season. Right now, just on his legs, wobbling all over the place with just, I expected more consistency. I just saw the talent. You get so fooled by summer ball also, like, oh, my God. Are you seeing what he's doing in the Vegas Summer Leagues? Is the worst way to lead a conversation about a basketball
player. All right, when we come back, Dal is going to join us here to talk college football. 713-780-3776 if you got some thought. Or you can tweet us any thought that you got, Art, about Dal coming back and being on the show. Right now, though, I'm talking about mybookie.ag. Here's where you bet. Dal's going to give you some insight. Five Star is going to give you some winners. Where are you going to bet them? You bet them at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Right now, any deposit that you make, I don't care if you're on, you weren't on, you've been on before, whatever. Everybody up to $1,000 gets their money doubled. So you got that much more to play with. There's no bookies that you'll find that will do that other than MyBookie. It's amazing. It really is. So go to MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Play, win, and get paid. And the website is so easy. And oh, by the way, the number of bets, the prop bets, the live betting, the casino betting, the horse racing, entertainment betting, political betting, whatever it is, they have got it. You want to bet on something? Boy, have they got it at MyBookie.ag. So if you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid, it's an easy website to navigate. You don't have to know anything, really. It's pretty damn simple. Anybody can do it. You can do it. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Time for me to tell you about my friends over at Maestro Dobel. They brought over the Añejo yesterday. Mallory did. Oh, my gosh. I can't. Me and Tyler are going to jump into that probably today. And I'm going to tell you about the Cristalino, the Diamante, but I do want to tell you just for a second, if you're somebody who loves a smoky but smooth spirit, this is going to be for you. It's a tequila that is exceptionally smooth and smoky. I'm just a huge, huge fan. But, you know, a lot of people are really huge fans, and I'm a fan also, a big fan of the Diamante. And the Diamante is a Cristalino. It's a flavor that was coined by Maestro Dobell, and many people now have said, okay, that's now one of the categories that we're going to start using. They're trendsetters, they're game changers, and the reason simple, 11 generations of tequila makers, 100% blue agave, the way that they make it, is the big differentiator. The charcoal filtered techniques they use is what creates the Diamante. But whether you like reposado, a nice silver to have a great cocktail with, añejos, or you want to try out the a smoked silver or the Cristalino, the Diamante, they've got you covered. Maestro Dobell, wherever any fine spirits are sold.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Dell is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking some college football. And, okay, your reaction to the first playoff rankings.
I think if we did not know beforehand that even the college football playoff itself, outside of the actual show, is a made-for-TV event, this was your clear example because they position things so they can have outs later in the year. If you put Cincinnati at where they are because you don't want to have to drop them later if they continue to win. So you put them at a spot where it's easy. You just keep saying, hey, we don't like their schedule. Who have they beaten? They play close games. And we had a conversation about it through text before Pat Forty came on. He was less vociferous in his complaints than we were. That why is Oregon getting the benefit of the doubt for playing Arizona close going to the fourth quarter? And like everyone leans on the Ohio State win because you're probably not watching a lot of Oregon football because you see Cal on the schedule. Like, I'm not going to watch that game. You see Arizona schedule. I'm not going to watch that game. They don't look like the fourth best team in the country. They've probably played, outside of last week where they beat up on an outmatched Colorado team, they've probably played two quarters of good football, and that was the first half against Ohio State where they look like one of the best teams in the country. But the overall aspect of Oregon, they've been average really all
Unfortunately,
year.
Unfortunately, neither does Cincinnati look like the fourth best team.
That's true, but Cincinnati has not lost the game.
That's why I want to bring this in. So when I used to do a lot of handicapping, one of the things that I would do late in the season is I started changing my formula to where I would weight like 35% the first part of the season and 65% when I had my power ratings the second half of the season, because I was a firm believer in who you were previously did not necessarily define who you are now. How do you guys feel about that in the context of only having 13 games to determine who the best teams are?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Because they matter. Those wins matter, too.
I'll tell you this right now. Ohio State should be up there because they're not what they were at the beginning of the season.
No.
I'm weighing the way they look right now.
They're three right now. Maybe two.
Yeah, right.
If you're just weighing, don't
if you want to be real, because Alabama shouldn't be number two with their one loss, but they are. They're the number two team in the country.
But they should be a top four.
Yeah. And Ohio State is a top four team right now.
And Ohio State, because of how the schedule sets up, will get every opportunity to prove what you believe in them. So they're fine. I mean, where they are right now really doesn't matter.
Michigan State, you're in.
You beat Michigan State. Michigan too.
Well, you got win out.
Yeah, certainly you win out. They're going to be where they want to be. So they're really not the issue. It's about the teams who don't have the schedule the rest of the way. And if we're judging teams based on what their schedule looks like the rest of the way and what they've done, I don't really see a discernible difference between Oregon and Cincinnati. Certainly not where they're so separated in spots. So and really esteem. And I think the committee will elevate Oregon as long as they win out because they're in the Power Five conference. But if you watch them play week to week, it's like, why are they struggling to put away Cal? It took to the final play of the game. Even games where they have control against UCLA, they let them right back in it. And if UCLA with the backup quarterback on the final drive doesn't throw a pick because, you know, the guy hasn't played very much, who knows where Oregon is standing. So they're going to get credit for the Ohio State win, and congratulations. I just think the body of work should be taken into account. And if they go on a stretch the rest of the way where they look like one of the four best teams, and credit to them. I just don't think they're number four right now.
What's Michigan State right now? I mean, they should be number three, but are they real?
You know, that's been a question because Kenneth Walker may be the best, at least offensive player in the country, and he may win the Heisman. Then you watch Peyton Thorne on occasions. He can look really good. Didn't look great against Michigan, which has been their best opponent so far. And the defense had some issues early in that game before they turned it up. They're a good football team. And you know what? I've said it before. You can just throw names in a hat behind Alabama and Georgia and put them all in a hat. and you're going to tell me Michigan State on a day couldn't beat Oregon? We already saw them beat Michigan. The Ohio State one is the one where we'll find out about them, because Ohio State is probably, if you combine coaching and talent, I think they have the second best combination in the game. I mean, because I think Ryan Day is the best play caller in the country right now. So if you add him with the talent they have and what they've done to fix their defense, I think they're very scary. I don't think anyone in that top four wants to see him in a semifinal. So they'll get their chance. I think they're one of six or seven that could be considered the part of the top four.
Eventually, I'm going to have an opinion far superior to yours in this topic.
Huh.
But
interesting.
I haven't watched enough of. I trust your eyes on this. In all seriousness, people ask me who's going to be the top quarterback drafted. Who's the top quarterback? And I watched Kenny Pickett this summer. I wasn't in love with him. He's had a really good year. He had a big week, a big game last week. But he also had two interceptions against Miami. He only had one coming. He had 23 touchdowns and one interception headed into that game. Really hadn't been getting any Heisman Trophy talk. Right now, of all the quarterbacks, who would you say are the three best quarterbacks in order in college football right now?
Just college football players, not
college NFL football players, and then how you see them as draft prospects, because those are separate things.
Certainly, I would probably Kenny Pickett would probably. I don't think he's in my list. He'd probably be third as far as talented. But the numbers in the offense of the Mark Whipple have been spectacular. I don't know what happened there. He was a guy who, as you kind of laid out, wasn't all that great leading up to his final season here, and he's taken a huge step, at least the offense.
Burrow could have been said by Joe too.
Certainly, but Joe didn't have much time playing. Like he played that year at LSU. Kenny Pickett's been starting since a freshman,
yeah.
And all of a sudden this becomes a thing. You know, I think. I mean, you want to? I don't know what you think about McCall at Coastal Carolina. But Malik Willis is probably the most combination of talent and production. I like Malik Willis. I don't know what you mean, know him as a draftable prospect, but his ability,
he'll be up there.
Yeah, certainly. But his ability to throw the football,
he might be the top quarterback.
That arm, I think, is probably maybe the most impressive as far as guys can get drafted. Carson Strong, I mean, where do you have him? The Nevada quarterback. Have you seen a lot of him?
I haven't seen him listed, but that's the thing is, this is not. This quarterbacks are going to come out of nowhere this year. And the reason I brought that up is I'm looking at Heisman odds, and it used to say, okay, the big two, will the big two win it or not? And the big two was headed into last week was Bryce Young and Matt Corral were the big two. This week they said, will the big two win it or not? It's Bryce Young and Kenneth Walker now. Kenneth Walker with five touchdowns has put himself, I believe, squarely in the conversation. To me, it should be Bryce Young, Kenneth Walker, 1-2. I think Matt Corral has fallen back. Is there somebody we're missing out on? Some people are saying Sam Howell is going to come out of nowhere and make some noise. He's not winning.
Four games.
They're not winning.
How's he going to?
I don't see it either.
What's he going to do? I mean, he's got Wake Forest.
Who's going to win the Heisman?
I think Bryce Young. The team he's on, but if Kenneth Walker goes on a run and they go on, if they he's go undefeated,
winning.
He's winning it.
Because they don't want to give it to a freshman.
Well, I don't think they mind that.
They don't want to give it to Bama.
I don't think that. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they gave it to a Bama receiver last year, and it was look, a receiver's having a great year. Let's give it to a receiver. If they haven't given it to a running back, or a running back hasn't won the award since Derrick Henry did it, if Kenneth Walker runs all over Ohio State,
yeah,
that's another game where he's against a top opponent.
Even if he loses, if he
has a great game against Ohio State, and Michigan State finishes the year with one loss.
And an Alabama quarterback's always going to get points taken away because of how good they all the positions that they
have. I don't think anyone's looking to give Bryce Young the award. If Kenneth Walker falls off, he might win it by default. But I think the momentum will get behind the running back, because running backs used to always win the award. Now they never do. And if he has great games, does he still have Penn State, who's a pretty good defense remaining? Certainly Ohio State. And then he has a potential Big Ten championship game if he makes it. But even if his team goes 11-1 with the loss to Ohio State and he's great, I think he'll win it.
Do you think that Bryce Young is the best quarterback, no matter what age, draftable or not, in the country?
No, I don't think so. The Bryce Young thing, I don't know. I mean, Lance can speak to it. I'm as great as he has been and efficient as he has been, I'm not all that impressed with Bryce Young. I don't think the physical tools overwhelm me. He's a really good player. his ability to kind of improvise in the pocket a little bit. He's different from the Alabama quarterbacks. You know, we talk about Mac and Tua. He's a guy who's more shifty in the pocket. He'll hold the ball a little bit longer than go fire and make a play. I'm not overwhelmed by his ability. I am surprised by his maturity and yeah. his efficiency.
He looks like he – and he throws the ball. He is actually pretty accurate on A to B throws. He likes for it to get off schedule. Like, there are times he sees the – I can tell he sees the field as a freshman. He doesn't see the field. He's got great maturity, but he doesn't have field maturity just yet, which is – totally understandable.
Do we see him flinching like a whipped dog under Bill O'Brien?
He'll get did Deshaun?
No.
Well, Deshaun
but Deshaun was a pro.
He had other priorities.
Deshaun didn't either. No, he likes to get out of the pocket, though. He likes to, although he says he doesn't like running a football. I'm like,
he likes being a guy who improvises, but doesn't cross the line of scrimmage as much as you might think. As often he's going off schedule.
Should.
Yeah, he's a guy who hangs around the pocket and, you know, baits a guy into moving, and then he'll make a throw, which is a credit to him.
Yep.
Right. Oh, last question, because he wasn't here. We had a big debate about Wake Forest. Who do you think has a better chance? I don't think Wake Forest will jump. If Cincinnati wins out, I can't see Wake Forest jumping Cincinnati.
They are not going to put Cincinnati in the playoff unless disasters happen for everybody.
Well, I'm just saying.
In the Wake Forest. At Clemson, at Boston College, and at North Carolina.
They will find a way to make the Clemson and Boston College ones a big deal, and they'll find a way to make whoever they beat in the AC title game
not,
a big deal.
Because beating Clemson this year, despite the name, is not a big deal.
If
their name wasn't Clemson, you wouldn't think twice.
And if their name wasn't Wake Forest, they'd already be in the top four.
If Pitt wins out and becomes a top 25, top 20 team, and that's the team they face in the ACC title game, it'll be the biggest win of Wake. It'll be a giant win to keep Cincinnati out. They will elevate Pitt to a point where, like, Pitt just lose to a 3-4 Miami at the time, and who knows how Miami will finish. They will make that Pitt-Wake Forest game a huge deal to elevate Wake Forest over Cincinnati.
I hate to say it. How much better is Miami without Derrick King?
Look, Derrick King, apparently the news came out, he did a podcast, that he re-injured his knee against Bama. So
I told you
he wasn't healthy, and then he had his shoulder.
Who gave you that insight? You could have done a podcast. You should have broke that with your podcast.
Someone on the message board gave me that insight, and you talked about it too. So
it's his shoulder and knee were jacked
up. I think the issue for Miami is they're playing a lot of young players who are more talented than the ones they were playing. And by the way, they beat North Carolina by one and Pitt by four. They could very well get their ass kicked by Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Pitt was undefeated headed in.
They had one loss. They lost to Western Michigan or something.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Well, we'll get some winners coming up next.
And you didn't pry any information out of me.
Remember the thing he's doing.
What thing am I doing?
Are you doing anything?
No, I'm not.
What's going on in your life right now?
Hold on. What do you have lined up for Charlie's show on Monday?
I won't be on Charlie's show on Monday.
Huh?
You won't be?
What?
The Dell and Charlie show, you won't be in?
It was never called that, and it'll be Charlie Palillo with somebody else on Monday. I don't know who. Maybe Tyler would do it.
Some big news.
I have been reassigned. Not a reassignment procedure.
Were you designated for assignment? Were you a DFA?
I've been put on ice for like 3 weeks, and I'll be back.
Huh.
So you're getting cut on.
Transitioning?
From local to national, yes.
So you're not getting a, what's it called when you get snipped? You said you're going to be put on ice. I thought, okay, Dale's right. Getting snipped.
No, yeah, get the peas, the frozen peas.
Frozen peas supposed to help you. Yeah.
I wish it was NCAA tournament time, so I just get snipped and just watch games.
That's it. That's what people do. All right, Dale's transitioning, hear about that next week, where he's transitioning
to. He's going to go to a different national show.
He's transitioning from local to national.
If he wants to lean into it, that's fine.
9:31, five-star next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I am telling you about Absolute Marble and Granite, my man Jeff Aronoff, who is really, really, really good. And he's another one that'll come to your home and give you that estimate absolutely free. And he's another one that'll give you a square deal. And he's going to do it's going to be a big job, though, okay? I don't need a couple of bricks replaced. I don't need, the molding on my counter. No, well, you want your countertops replaced? Okay. You need all those cabinets. You need that flooring replaced. You want to redecorate? You want to redo your home. You want to redo that den, redo that. And it's not, yeah, it's not just outdoor patios. He did ours. He did our outdoor kitchen, but he also did a lot of work on our countertops too. And it was spectacular. So if you're looking for that kind of service, if you're looking for a big, big job done, hey, if you're building a home, let Jeff come and he can help you design, because he does this every day. He can help you design that kitchen. He can help you design immediately that outdoor kitchen that you need. And he can do it all at a price. He's going to give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, time to bring in five-star. Money, 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 baby. That's what he made us last week. 3-0 week and then some. So
y'all take care of him. Take care of our man. Go to five-star wagers. Oh, no, it's five-star in Vegas.
Five-star in Vegas.
And tell him, hey, what's the Cash App? What's the Venmo? I want to put a little something on the books. That's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to put a little something on you.
A little something
how
for
about
your
y'all, effort. How about y'all take care of... I had somebody reach out to me the other day. I'm like, is there some way to subscribe or pay for a service? I said, well, he wants to build up that following again. He wants to build up that following. And so far, you've done nothing but – and you know what? And here's the thing. You don't always win. As somebody who used to handicap quite a bit, you're not always going to win. But what I like about Five Stars, he's done his research. Like, yeah. It's coming from a place of – it's not guessing. It's not just following trends. He's doing research on it. He's combining – handicapping principles with understanding football concepts. Right. And that's what I respect.
Five stars with us. What up, five star?
Hey, what's up, guys? I appreciate that, Lance. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. At five star in Vegas. Great follow. And maybe, you know, throw them a little something for the effort. So five star, nice week last week. What do we got? Now, to give the people some winners that they're hungry for some more winners today.
Okay, guys, let's try to keep it going here, man. First, we're going to get into Ole Miss versus Liberty. We're going to go with Liberty plus 9.5. This will be the first meeting between these football programs, but it also doubles as Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze's first game against his former team. Freeze was born and raised in Oxford, Mississippi, guys. This was his dream job that he had with the Rebels, and he led them to a 64-39 record with three bowl wins in five seasons and also two big wins against Bama before resigning. Over recruiting violations, amongst other things. And I'm sure Freeze has had this game in his hometown against his former school guys circled all year. Ole Miss comes into this game after being dominated by Auburn in a game nowhere as close as the final score was. Last week, the Rebels were down five starters on this usually explosive offense. And everything Matt Corral is banged up. The line isn't protecting them well. Ole Miss scored its lowest point total during the Lane Kiffin era last week. I'm sure that Coach Kiffin will be chomping at the bit to get back to his offense, have it rolling again. But the question is, how motivated will his players be? They face Texas A&M next week. And also, the Rebels are banged up real bad up and down the offensive line. Word is Matt Corral's ankle injury kept him out of practice all week. And also, his top three receiving targets are injured and unlikely to play. His opposing quarterback, Malik Willis, is projecting in some circles, guys, as the top NFL prospect at his position. And after a great season last year, even though the Flames haven't performed as well in big spots this season, losing to Syracuse, they also possess great skill players, guys, and they got the ultimate game breaker in Malik Willis. This is going to be the biggest game in Hugh Freeze's life. He's going to return to his hometown, his former dream job, in hopes of pulling up the big upset. He's a great offensive mind. Mm-hmm. He's just as good as an offensive coach as Kiffin, man. So I'm rolling with Death of Liberty plus 9.5.
How about
this defense is leaking.
How about buying a half a point there to make it plus 10?
It just depends on your style of betting. I don't even feel like that's a key number in this game. I see this game coming down to the end of the game simply because, guys, as you guys know, during the season, players, it's a grind playing football, and we're dealing with kids, man. So as soon as lifters start hitting them in the mouth, they're dealing with injuries, they see they really came to play, man, it's going to be too late to try to even, you know, now they're in a dogfight. The 9.5 is good. Look for Malik Willis to backdoor it, bro. He's the best player going to be on the field.
I'm not lying. Okay. This game is going to be potentially, we'll get to the next game.
We got to move on to the next game.
Fighting for number one.
Let's get on to the next one. What do you see, five-star?
Okay, guys, we're going with SMU -4.5 in Memphis. SMU come to this game off his first loss of the season, a crazy one in Houston. I know you guys saw that in the game last week. Yeah, SMU fought back to tie the game, but the Cougars outlasted the Mustangs with a game-winning kickoff return at the end of regulation. That game was an instant classic. SMU is one of the best offensive teams in the country. They're ranked number 7 in total yards, number 9 in passing yards per game, and number 7 in points per game, averaging 42. This matchup couldn't be worse for a Memphis team coming off a bye week, guys. They just got blasted by UCF. The Memphis defense is one of the worst in college in all three of the categories that SMU excels in offensively. They're ranked 89th in total yards allowed, 98th in passing yards allowed, and 96th in points allowed. The Tigers are giving up 30 a game. They also got injury problems. Their starting quarterback, Seth Hennigan, he's missed the UCF game with a throwing shoulder injury, but he's also listed as a game-time decision. If he can't go, they got to roll with a freshman, man. Peter Parrish. Parrish is more mobile, but he's not nearly the passer. The week before last against UCF, they struggled a lot, man. He had 3 interceptions, only averaged 6 yards per completion. Their star wideout, Calvin Austin, didn't get many looks. He was held to 44 yards. If they can't get him the ball, they're in trouble, man. Memphis did have a bye week, but I still like and trust Oklahoma transfer Tanner Mordecai and the Mustang offense to execute more. You know, this game is like tennis, guys. It's who can serve the most. So I'm going with SMU on this one, man. They don't score touchdowns. I'm assuming they don't score field goals. They score touchdowns. Yeah. I'm laying anything less than a touchdown with them, man. So let's go SMU -4.5 against a banged up Memphis team.
Yep, I agree. That's a nice pick. What's your last one?
Last one, man. We're going to go back out to a smaller team out west, man, like we did last week winning with Utah State. We're going to go with Colorado State -3.5 at Wyoming. These are two desperate teams coming into this rivalry known as the Border War, and they're playing for the Bronze Boot Trophy, guys. Colorado State has lost 2 straight, while Wyoming has lost 4. This game basically comes down to Colorado State coach Steve Adagio, who's had success in many programs, against Craig Bowl, who's his counterpart. He was a legend in the FCS for North Dakota State before coming to Wyoming. They both run the same offense, guys. They're mirrors of each other, but Colorado State is the better reflection. Also, the Rams coming into this contest are ranked in the top 15 in total defense. Wyoming struggling on offense. They bring in the bottom of the country, guys, in total yards, pass yards, and points scored. I also like Tyson Tayo, who's the quarterback for the Rams, to make enough plays to get them the cover. I also like their tight end, Trey McBride, and they also have a transfer running back from Boston College, David Bailey, that followed Coach Adagio to Fort Collins, man. Adagio is one of the better college football coaches in the country. He understands this season is a disappointment that the Rams aren't bowl eligible. So I expect them to throw the kitchen sink at Wyoming. While Coach Bowl for Wyoming, he's real conservative. He's not going to change too much of his game plan. So expect Adagio and his staff to come through, man. And let's take Colorado State -3.5, and they're going to keep the bronze boot in Fort Collins.
All right, so I got all 3. I got my parlay, my 3-team parlay. Bet them together.
Hey, you playing them all together?
Playing them all together.
Okay.
You got to play some straights, man. You got to do straights. For you guys who are listed, make sure it's okay to throw a small amount on the parlay. But, hey, our meat and bread is straights, man. Take these bets and bet them straight, man. It's always better to go straight. They See? Want you to bet parlays.
Crazy lunatic, know. John. You crazy lunatic.
Well, I got all kinds of confidence in you. Okay, I'm betting parlay. You going 3-0 again this week? That's all. All right, but Let's I will bet them straight. Let's you know it. What? You tie them up. You bet them straight. You can tie them up. You can round robin them. You can do.
Why are you putting right? them in this many things?
Because five star gave them to me. That's
okay,
why.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so that's the way we're going.
I like that reasoning, John.
Yep, that's it. If five star gives them to me, then we going with them. Five Star's making us money. He's making us money. At Five Star, the words, not the number, Five Star in Vegas. At Five Star in Vegas. Follow him And then, do you got a website yet that people can go to? Yeah, you got YouTube stuff you're doing.
I have a YouTube. I'm working on building the website because when we do it, we're going to do it, you know, big. It's not going to be anything small, man. It's going to be a major website when it comes up. It's going to be able to give you guys a lot of information. So for right now, let's just go to YouTube. This year, we're going to work on building the brand. And next year, we're going to hit them hard, man, with the website, with the app. And a lot of things, man. But right now, we're just going to concentrate on the YouTube and doing the bench with you guys, man, and giving out these winners.
Well, we got a website company that maybe if you give them picks, you can instead of cash, you can give them picks. SiteJab, you can give maybe you give them picks as payment for working on your website. All right, go to SiteJab.com and tell them Lance said that they take picks.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Trade and barter is the best thing going, man, in life, right?
That's right.
That's how we all started.
That's right. That's what we've been doing. That's right. Hey, man, we appreciate it. That's Five Star in Vegas, at Five Star in Vegas. Follow him, get to his YouTube channel, and get some winners. Five Star, we appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. There's Five Star in Vegas. Time to talk about Coors Light. While you're watching these games, while I'm watching all my bets come in, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be drinking Coors Lights. And I'm going to be celebrating my big, big parlay win with cold, clean, refreshing Coors Light. If you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, period, exclamation point. My brother, this is what it is. If you're looking for a great beer that you can enjoy your games, that you can have some fun watching games, that you can, while you're barbecuing, to watch your games, while you're watching the games, pre-game when you're playing golf, all of these things are going to happen for me, all because of Coors Light. I love it. It's the world's most refreshing beer. And if you're looking for a great way to just have some fun and make it your official beer, that's what Coors Light is for, brother. You could, if you're on Twitch right now, you can see my Coors Light laptop. Everything I got, it's all about Coors Light. Make it your beer. It's the world's most refreshing beer.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you hear that there is a turkey shortage, Lance? Did you hear that? That we're going to have? I mean, I think.
I don't care, but I mean, supply chain. I'm not a turkey guy, Aaron. That's just me. I'd rather do brisket for Thanksgiving.
That's stupid. But.
Turkey is delicious.
Would you?
Okay, I'll never have it another day the whole rest of the year.
You don't eat turkey sandwiches?
That's different. That's deli meat where it's sliced and it's been processed and. Putting all that stuff.
It comes off turkey.
Well, how come we don't put the big old turkey in the oven on a March day?
So you don't get turkey leg.
You don't put your oven on in March.
How come we don't put it in a grill, the barbecue? How come we don't smoke turkey?
Yeah, we do.
I do. You don't get a turkey leg at the rodeo?
Yeah.
You don't get one at Renfest? They smoke that turkey?
Hold on a second. Are we having smoked turkey legs for Thanksgiving? No.
You can't. If you're the first one to cut the turkey or you're the one who cooks the turkey,
it's not the same. You take it off and smoke it.
What about this? How about this? Heinz Big Soup Christmas Dinner. Okay. So, and you know what it is? Because, you know, we're going to have a problem with food shortages around the world. So it contains big chunks of turkey, pigs in a blanket, Brussels sprouts, stuffing balls, and potatoes.
That's not true.
With a gravy and cranberry sauce all in one can.
Is this the onion?
No, it's true.
Double check it.
No, it's true. It's real. And if
what's the website
only
called?
500 cans.
Good, because how are you going to sell more than
soup?
How are you going to sell more than 12? To 12
this really
jamokes.
Doesn't seem like something I really want for Christmas.
That sounds like a kid's nightmare. Were you ever a picky kid who didn't like your food touching each other on the plate?
Nope.
The flavors.
No,
okay, but
I like
some
to
kids are.
Mash all my stuff up.
Yeah. Well, you're the target. You're right. The target. Now, I will admit, Thanksgiving's a perfect time where you get a bowl and you throw. Green bean stuff, stuffing, mashed potatoes, turkey, whatever, gravy, and then you heat it up. That is true. Thanksgiving was made for that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mix and mash of all the stuff.
So
Mexican food,
your
too.
Your kids won't do that, though. No. They won't.
What?
Are you kidding?
No. They don't. Alec won't even eat Honey Nut Cheerios because he does. It's not the flavor, the brand that he likes.
Apparently, you're contributing to the food shortage. All those kids, one child policy solves all of this. That's what's happening in China. I think we got to adopt that policy.
No, they've opened it up to two now.
Apparently, a man and a woman. Apparently, they were arrested. They were found to have stolen a furnace. A furnace. Unfortunately, they passed out from the gas leak after they had stolen the furnace. I've never heard of anyone stealing. You don't have a furnace.
I've never heard of that.
A furnace?
Is that a
really?
Copper thing? Is that something that meth heads do to steal? Is it made of copper? Because why would you steal a furnace?
Well, it was a vacant Winnipeg house. They went in.
You said Winnipeg?
Yeah. It was in Winnipeg.
Yeah, Canadian.
Yeah, it's Canadian. Yeah. So apparently the odor of natural gas as they were stealing the furnace made them pass out. Luckily, they didn't die. But, see, it's just, you got to think of these things. You know, maybe turn off the gas before you steal the furnace. Something like that.
Something like that.
You're too dumb to be a crook. You know, did you see Jenna Ryan? Huh. Who said, I'm definitely not going to jail. And after the D.C. And she posted this on social media. I'm definitely not going to get to jail. I'm white. I'm good looking. And I actually have a good job. So I'm not going to jail. You know what happened yesterday?
Did she go to jail?
She's going 60 days.
Okay?
She's going to jail. Yeah, she's going to jail for 60 days.
I like when you taunt the legal system.
Well, and that's exactly what that's exactly what the judge said. Said, oh, you're not, huh? Watch this. She's like there's only 18 people that have gone to jail out of all of the people. And they said, nah, you're one of them. You're definitely one.
You're one of them because you put, because you were posting how.
Yeah. How many?
Not that good looking?
No, she's not.
Oh,
great.
That's what somebody outside the door said. Not that good looking, actually.
How many billionaires you think got stimulus checks?
A ton.
Well, there aren't a ton of billionaires in the country, but there are a lot. 18 billionaires received stimulus checks.
I think they said there's, what, 40 in the country?
Did you get your stimulus check?
No. Me speaking for my people, the billionaires?
Right. No, the hundredaires.
I know.
The thousandaires.
I did not get a stimulus. I get a child tax credit because I've got what I like to call a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a little taste. Yeah. I don't get the big taste.
We
I
just
get the
talked about
taste.
That, how you we should limit you to one.
Yeah, look how much money I'm making off a child tax credit. Now, I'd say I'm winning.
Oh.
Because when I get that child tax credit, it's
sure
really going
to
help with college costs.
Yeah, you really won that one.
Look at me go.
Look at that big win I got.
I was adding up their college costs and what it would go to, you know, to actually being able to retire. And I was like, oh, man.
Thanks for that, Gov.
This is my dad was always saying, let your kids take on debt. Put that money in retirement. Dad was right.
All right, we're done. Have a great weekend, everybody. Not a lot. We'll talk about something, I'm sure, on Monday. I don't know. Looking forward to our Rockets playing. I'm pretty sure the Texans are going to play or something on Sunday. So we'll talk about all that on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance was All-State in high school, wasn't
he? No, I was not, but All-State windows and siding. How about this? Right now, you can get 25% off of your windows installation. That's what my friends over at AllStateWindowsAndSiding.com are doing. It's a company that's been in business for about 5 decades. So, you know, you don't stay in business that long without being a company who does things the right way. And it's not just their installation, the fact that they're careful when they take out the glass, the fact that they retrofit to the window frame so that you don't have the leaky windows. It's the strength of the double pane, double strength windows. It's the fact that it beautifies and lowers the energy bills. The same thing can be said for the siding that they do. Lowers energy bills and looks great. My friends over at AllStateWindowsAndSiding.com are doing great work, a company that you can trust, and they are giving you very fair prices. And I think you need to go to the website and look at all the work that they've done so you can see it for yourself. AllStateWindowsAndSiding.com. But don't forget, make sure you tell them that you heard about it from me. Get a little hookup on price and 25% discount on your windows installation. So make sure you go to AllStateWindowsAndSiding.com to upgrade your home.
We're gonna be legend. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legend. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.